going to ask you, what are the three keys to Geula? What would come to mind? I think most people would associate, at least with regards to Geula from Mitzrayim, they would associate Chazal tell us that in the merit of three things that Yidden went out from Mitzrayim, Shleishinu, they didn't change, Shemom, their names, Mashenom, their language, and Malbushom, their clothing. Now, the truth is, when I prepared a little bit to share, I was astounded to note that there isn't such Chazal. Some Medrash, which says they didn't change their name and their language, and then it quotes a couple of other things, they weren't Futs and Baroyas. There's another Medrash which says they didn't change their clothing, doesn't talk about their name or their language. I didn't find a single Medrash, then again I haven't got the computer stuff, which actually says these three things, but nevertheless the Sforim do say, as we know in the Haggadah, Mahisham Legoy, the Lamitra Yisrael Mitzuyonim Shom, they were distinguished in their appearance, in their attire, in their language, and in their names. And in fact, at the beginning of this week, we heard Rabbi Levenberg quote the Balak Turim at the beginning of the parasha, Ve'eleh Shmois B'nei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayimo. So the Balak Turim says, Shmois B'nei Yisrael Haboim is Rosh Hashanah Shivyot, captivity. And to teach us that even in their captivity, Ve'eleh Shmois B'nei Yisrael, they kept their Jewish name even in captivity. There's an interesting verse I saw from Rabbi Sokol's friend. There's a rather obscure pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov and Lavan chased Yaakov and they built a matzeva. It says Vayikroloi Lavan Yigarsa Hadusa, the Yaakov Koraloi Galaid. What's the significance of this? So he says, Master Ovas Simon Mono, we know that whatever the Ovas did with a simon, a directive for how their children would act and behave, specifically Yaakov's manner of behavior, teaches us how to behave in Golos. So the Sipona says, the Yaakov Kole Galeid, he says, Shaloi Shina Es Leshainoi. I mean, Lavan said, he got this, so Yaakov, no, I call it differently. I call it Galeid. From here, says Rabbi Sarai, they even took this Koyak with them into Golos to maintain their own distinct language, to maintain Lashon HaKodesh. There's a beautiful vat from my elder day to the Esther Baba Ruf. How is it, Taka, that people can live in a nation 210 years and not adapt at all, their own names, their own manner of dress, their own language? So he says, if I go to Mexico for a week, I'm not going to start speaking their language, I'm not going to start dressing like a Mexican wife, because I just came, I just arrived, I'm just leaving. In the pasuk it says, Ve'eleh Shmois B'nei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayimo. The tense is difficult. The Shor said, Shebo Mitzrayimo, Asher Bo, who came? Why, who are coming to Mitzrayim? The answer is because Kohen Gadol always felt, like we say in Agoda, Melame Shalebo Yaakov, Vishtakeh Hashem, Logo Boretz Bo, but they only came for a short time. So they always felt, Haboim, we just arrived, we're not going to change. So my elder Zayda says that in Haftarah we say this week, Haboim Yashresh Yaakov, Yotzei Tzofarach Yisrael, which one translation renders, Haboim in days to come, Yashresh Yaakov, Yaakov will take root. But he says the Echremes of Shot is Haboim. It was the midah of Haboim, the fact that they were always just arrived. Yashresh Yaakov, that was the root of Yaakov, that enabled them to retain their identity and not to become assimilated, because they always experience that we've just come, and that there's no need and no point in assimilating, so they didn't change their clothing, their dress, their language and their name. So as I said, that's what one would have thought are perhaps the three key elements which enable the Geula. And I'd like to today uncover perhaps from the Pesukim and the Mefarshim three other keys, as it were, which enabled the Geula, and perhaps at the end we'll come back to the Shem, Loshon and Malbush. And the place to start, what I'd like to suggest is that in fact the three things which enabled the Geula from its time, and in fact relevant to us nowadays, will through those three things we will be zocheh to be nigal from our present Golus. The three things are the same three things as the world stands on: Shalosh Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed, Al HaTorah, Al HaAvodah, Al Gmunas Chasodim. And this is logical, that in the same way that the world stands on these three things, so too the Klal Yisrael, who are a microcosm of the world, and Bereishis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenik Bereishis, the whole world was created on the account of Klal Yisrael, they are to become independent only when they perfect themselves in these three things: Torah, Avodah, and Gemunas Chasodim. So we begin with the appearance of the Rabbeinu Shalom to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Smet. And he tells him that I've heard and I've seen the affliction of my people in Mitzrayim. Va'ata l'chob esh l'chacha l'taroi v'hoitzei tamwi b'nei Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And the prophet says, Vayene Moshe no dekim. Moshe said to Hashem, Mi omeichi ke'elek al paroi? Who am I that I shall go to paroi? V'chi oitzei b'nei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, that I shall take out the Yidin from Mitzrayim. And now she teaches us that he was asking two questions. Number one, Ma ani choshe v'daber am amalochim? Who am I to take the Yidin out of Mitzrayim? Number two, and even if I am worthy, what merit do they have that they should be worthy of going out of Mitzrayim? To which Rabbi Yisrael responds on each question. So Rashi says, for that which you said, me on Loki, who am I? Don't worry, I shall be with you, you won't be on your own. The fact that I'm appearing in the snare will be an ois for you. The light, the snare is not getting damaged because I am with it, so too I will be with you and you will not get harmed. As for your second question, and what merit the Klal Yisrael have to go out of Mitzrayim, Bo'itziyacho eto'om mi'mitzrayim ta'avdun etzeloikim ala hor hazeh. So Rashi says, U'shesho'alto, as regards your question, Maschus yeshali Yisrael she'etum mi'mitzrayim, what merit the Klal Yisrael have to go out of Mitzrayim, Dovo godo yeshri alo yitzo'avdu shari afidim, they will, after their exodus, they will receive the Torah on this mountain. And it's this merit that they will be mekabel the Torah that stands by Klal Yisrael, and that in that merit they can go out of Golus. In fact, Klal Yisrael were engaged in the study of Torah even after Mitzrayim. There's a medrash which says later on in the parasha, after Paroi refused Moshe Rabbeinu's initial request, and he said, "Tichvat ha'avodah ala anoshim, va'al yishu b'divrei shoker." Let them not delight in false words. What are the divrei shoker? The Medrash says that we know that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim rested on Shabbos, right? Yichvat Moshe got matzelta. It was a day designated to rest. What did they do on Shabbos? They would come together and they would read from Megillos, from scrolls. It doesn't tell us what the scrolls were, but we know that there was an oral transmission of Torah from Yeshiva Shem Ve'eva through Avram, through Yaakov, through Yosef, and the Shvatim had a Glarufa we taught, and they had a Torah as it were which they studied, and they would get together on Shabbos and study these scrolls. And moreover, it's very interesting, we know that Shevet Levi was exempted from working because initially it was Beforech, it was Beferach, they were lured into the work as an incentive, they would get well paid and to volunteer, and Paro himself began to work, and the Levim did not want to remove himself from Goshen, from the study of Torah, and therefore ultimately when the Per Rach became Forech, the Levim ended up being exempted. The Lev Eliyahu writes in Chochma Musar, he writes in Moritz Gazach, that Paro wanted to eventually get the Levim to work as well, so he made a decree that those who do not work cannot be paid wages in this country, cannot receive an income, and therefore they have to work for want of food. And they still refused to work. They insisted on remaining in Goshen and engaging in the studying of Torah. So who supported Shevet Levi? Says that Levi only quoted from a Chazal, or I don't know where the Chazal is, that each and every man, after his backbreaking day's labor, and from the meager rations that he received, he would set aside a portion to give to his brothers, to Shevet Levi, so that they should remain dedicated to the study of Torah. This is how Klal Yisrael appreciated that even in Mitzrayim, it's necessary to have a component of Klal Yisrael dedicated the study of Torah. So already in Mitzrayim they were engaged in the study of Torah. And Rashi teaches us over here that it was in the merit of Tavdan Esolekim al Horazeh, of them eventually receiving, being the Kabbal of the Torah as a Mitzvah Ba'oisa, it's in that merit of Tabola Sa Torah that Yidin was Zoicha to be taken out of Mitzrayim. There's a Mordechai Orachayim HaKodesh in the parasha. Orachayim HaKodesh questions, he questions, why did the Makkos have to take an entire year? Tuman de Omrim, either the warning was 3 weeks and the Makkos was 1 week, or vice versa, and it took over an entire year. He says, why couldn't the Moshe make chit chat? You know, basically he had to make 10 Makkos to show certain elements of his power. So let's move quickly and hit me out of time. Why delay it? Why prolong the agony? Why delay it over a year? And moreover, if the Moshe has got time, so why suddenly in the last minute a great rush, the chippozon, there's no time, and the masses don't have time to rise, and suddenly there's a great rush First he's got time, and then in the last minute he has no time. So he explains our Aruch HaKodesh that the Sforim HaKodeshim say that the purpose of the Yidden being in Mitzrayim was because there were certainly Tzeitzeit, HaKedusha, which were in Mitzrayim, which they had to elevate. And the way they did this was, in a way, by descending into the depths of the Tumah. Then, when they subsequently would go out, correspondingly they would be Ma'ala these Sha'orim of Tumah to Kedusha. And therefore he said it was necessary that they remain in Mitzrayim as long as possible to descend to the very 49th Shar HaTumah, because only by reaching the 49th Shar HaTumah would they be able to, via Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents Klal Yisrael, subsequently rise to the 49th Shar HaKedusha. That's why they had to stay as long as possible, but they couldn't stay any longer than that lest they fall into the 50th Shar, for which there would be no arising, for which they couldn't come out. And he says that's why we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was never masig Shar HaKhamishim. And I quote you his words, the tam shalai hisig shara chamishim hu letzav she'en hamusog elo b'hishtavlus hamasig. That which is with attained is only b'hishtavlus hamasig, only in as much as the masig, the person trying to attain it, puts in effort. And if they were never at the nun shara tuma, he cannot correspondingly have attained nun shara kedusha. Says the Aruch HaKodesh, but you should know that's why they had to stay as long as they did, and at the last minute they had to leave. But he says you should know that was then, before they had the official Torah. The reason why they were endangered in being mevarer this 50th Shah is letzav shalohoyu b'nei Torah. Despite what we said that they did engage in the Torah, but they were not b'nei Torah, they had no official Torah. Ma she'en ken, says the Aruch HaKodesh. Okay, but lohoyu b'nei Torah means that they had not received the Torah on Sinai, they were not mitzuvah in the Torah. Masha Enkin says the Aruch HaKodesh, Doirotu Achreinim, today's later generations, Be'entzos Toirotum via their study of Torah, Yasigu Likoreis the Sha'anun, we will fall into the depths of the Sha'anun, Ulahoitzi Bolo Mipiv, and we will take out Boloi Mipiv from the Sitra'af, we will take out this 50th Shar HaTumah and ascend from it and become Nigal. Through the merit of what? Through the merit of the Torah. So we see how learning of the Torah both in Mitzrayim and subsequent to their leaving of Mitzrayim was a necessary part. That was a necessary merit for them to have in order to go out on Mitzrayim. I just want to briefly say, and I hope I'm not shooting myself in the foot over here, that we all greatly appreciate the work of the organizers in the Start the Day program and the work they have in getting an array of speakers to speak every day, but I want you to still understand that I believe that coming for a half an hour share in the morning is wonderful only if it doesn't substitute for one's regular study learning, Torah learning, because at the end of the day, and I quote from Aruch HaKodesh, Ein hamusog elo b'hishtavlus hamasig. At the end of the day, Torah can only be nikneh b'yagia, b'hishtavlus, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah uses the expression tavzun eselo ekim alo azeh. Study of Torah is not merely when you sit back and you enjoy something, which is also a necessary component of Torah, to enjoy the study of Torah, but Torah has to be gained via gear, there has to be set aside times when a person is miyageya himself in Torah. That is the component of the gear of Torah and the Kabbalah Torah, which is necessary for Klal Yisrael to go out. The second component I'd like to suggest is the Amud HaAvodah. And I take that again from the simple reading of the Pasuk. Tavzun eselokim al ha'azah. And we know that avodah means avodah. Avodah sakarbonus. And in fact, it says later on in the Parsha that the Rabbi Yisrael said, "Tell Paroi, ne'achav nizbuchol Hashem, let us go out and bring korbonus to Hashem." So, in the same way that Rashi says it was boitiach for some time, it's bischar that you will be mekabel the Torah. By the same token, the Chayira. It's bishchar that you will do avoida. So it's bishchar the avoida also that Klal Yisrael was zeicha to go out of Mitzrayim. And avoida we know is not limited only to korbanos, but today it's replaced by avoida tefillah, avoida salev. And we know that already in Mitzrayim the Yidden vayizoku But how Shavotom Elo Elokim in Avodah the Yidden daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom, they cried out to the Rebbeinu Shalom. So they had this Avodah Salev, they had this Avodah Salev already in Mitzrayim, and in the merit of them, Nechom and Yitzchok of them continuing to do Avodah Hashem, that's the second component which was necessary in order for them to be taken out of Mitzrayim. I'd like to talk for a couple of minutes about the great effect that tefillah from the bottom of one's heart and tefillah with sincerity can have, that even in the most dire machshavim, that tefillah can achieve something. I'd like to say about on next week's parasha, parasha Va'eiro, we find in next week's parasha three times Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem to remove the makos from Paro. Three times. First time was after the tzfardea, the second time was after the oroid, and the third time was at the end of the tzedra after the borot. The first time it says Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayetze Moshe Ba'am Him Paroi, Vayitzak Moshe Al Hashem, and Moshe cried out to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The second time it says after the oroid, again Vayetze Moshe Ba'am Him Paroi, Vayetzar Moshe Al Hashem. Rashi says Yetzar is the loshon of Nisamet Bitzvilo, also the loshon of Tzvilo, Vayetzar Moshe Al Hashem. The third time after the Makas Borod it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi, Ketzesi Esoir, Ephraites Kapai, I will leave the city and I will spread out my hands in prayer and I will daven for you. And there Rashi comments, the well-known Rashi, Ketzesi Esoir, so Rashi says, but in the city, I will betoich ha'ir lo yispalu, Fishoiso Meleo Gilulim, because it was full of Avodah Zarah, and if we didn't daven in the city, you had to leave the city. And the Sifti Chomer there asks an obvious question. But why in the earlier two times it just says Vayetze Moshe Aram Ne'im Paro, which means they left the palace and they don't. Doesn't say they left the city. Why over here the third time, there the Torah teaches us Ketzesi Yisroel that he had to leave the city. So you can have a look at this comment, the answer that he offers. Another diuk though is, why indeed did the Torah change the lashon Vayitzak the first time, Vayetar the second time, and Ephraites Kapai the third time? So I'd like to suggest that perhaps the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven in an era of Maleo Gilulim was not so much because you're prohibited from davening in an era of Maleo Gilulim. I don't know if that's halacha, in an era which Avodah Zarah you cannot daven. But rather Moshe Rabbeinu felt that his tefillah wouldn't have such effect. Surrounded by Avodah Zarah, surrounded by Shmut, and here is the daven for Rabbeinu Shalom, there's no Yeshiva Da'at, it's not a place to daven, it's not a place which is where the tefillah will be received properly. That's not a place to daven, I have to go out of town to daven. However, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it depends what type of tefillah. If you're davening a normal tefillah, where there's no great exertion on your part, yeah, if you're davening a normal tefillah, you need to have the right circumstances, you need to have the right situation, and then you can daven. But there is a tefillah which comes from the bottom of a person's heart, and that pierces the heavens wherever you are. Makes no difference. You can be in a city, Maleo Gilule, makes no difference. Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time after Makas Tzvardea, Makkah number 2, was in a good state of mind, he felt, that's it. Two Makas, the power is already capitulating. He felt, we're there. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, fine, power, you want me to daven, they should disappear, no problem. He cried out. So okay, the tzokim in aleiv. If you cry out to the Rabbeinu Shalom from the depths of your heart, you can do that anywhere. Doesn't make a difference where you are. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, crying out from my heart will reach the Rabbeinu Shalom in any event. Two Makas later, at the end of Makas Oroif, Moshe Rabbeinu was perhaps a little bit more subdued, because we're already, Paro is already playing games. With two Makas later, now he says, take the Makas away and I'll send them out. I don't know whether he will or not, but nevertheless, but yes, that is Rashi, this Amet Moshe Bitzvilo. He put effort, and he thought, my Tzaoka is not as direct as it was the first time, but I'll be this Amet, and I'll strengthen myself to daven. And there too, there's no need to leave the city. If a person is misamit mitzvah, that too can be done at any time and at any place. By the time it came to the seventh Makkah, Makkah's borrowed, and here already Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro is really having me on, you know, seven Makkahs and he still hasn't sent them out. Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, by now, I can't bring forth my tzaoka. It's difficult for me to be netar as well. What I can do is daven regularly, take the sit and daven. Ephraim is kabbai, that's how they used to daven in those days, right? That was the Messiah's kabbai, was the way to daven. Ephraim is kabbai, I'll go out and I'll pray. No, for an ordinary prayer, Ketzesi Yisroel, I need to go out of the city to do that. That is something which I feel would only be properly received under the right conditions, under the right circumstances. But Akoponim, it emerges that it's the Oka which comes min alev from the bottom of a person's heart, that can be done anywhere, which is in fact why Vayishma lekimis na'akotam, it says vayizoku in Mitzrayim, because of the pain they were in, vayizoku, their za'aka came from within, from the depths of their heart. They could do that even in the city Malei Gilulim. The Yidin themselves could daven wherever they were, because it was a true heartfelt tefillah. A true heartfelt tefillah can achieve in any circumstance. And therefore, perhaps it is this second midah which Klal Yisrael had, the midah of tefillah, true heartfelt tefillah, plus the subsequent tavdunis Elohim, the fact that they would serve the Rabbanim Shalom Avodah when they left Mitzrayim, was the midah. Within the merit of the midah of Avodah too, that Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim. So we've established the presence of the Limud HaTorah and the presence of the Avodah. Now Gemilas Chasodim, first of all, we find in the Sedra, after Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, and then he saw Dothan Avriyon fighting, and they responded, Halorgeni ato emer tasharakos ha-mitri, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ochein noida hadovor. And Rashi says, Ochein noida hadovor, I now understand something that troubled me. Why did Klal Yisrael have to be in Golos? Why more than other nations are they the ones that are always downtrodden and exiled? And now I understand, when I see that Yidden are smiting one another, when I see the Sheshvem Dilturin, that they are Dilturin, that they gossip, that they report about one another, but they have no interest in one another's welfare. Now, okay, now it's not over. Now, as much as I understand why they are deserving of such punishment. So we see that, as it were, the reverse of Gemilas Chasodim, i.e., the non-compassion and the non-feeling of the Lashon Hara and the Sinas Chilom against one's fellow Jew, that can be a cause of Golos. And indeed, the contrary of that, the Gemilas Chasodim and the looking out and the helping one another, that is a cause for Geula. There's a vote from Shlomo Kluger. It says in this week's parasha that Hashem told Moshe, when you leave Mitzrayim, so they shall borrow the Shala Isha Mishchenta Megorah Beisach LeKetzah LeZov. In Parshas Boy, the wording is slightly differently. In Parshas Boy, it says Yishalu No Ish Me Eisrei Ehu the Isha Me Eisrei Usa. One man from his fellow man, from his friend. Shlomo Kluger asks an interesting question. We know from the Sechel Baba Kama, Re'ehu lahitzia so'akum. Right? Re'ehu always means your fellow Jew. Re'ehu doesn't mean a goy. So how here can we refer to the Mitzrim as Re'ehu? So he says a Moshe Kavot. He's marach a bit, but he says that Klal Yisrael had to find chen be'enei ha-Mitzrim. And that wasn't so simple. The Mitzrim should lend them their items. And he says that was by virtue of them being mis'ached, uniting together. And he explains that uniting together, they would become one, and Moshe Rabbeinu would be their leader as one, and he, Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, would find chen be'en ha-mitzrim. But he said it was necessary for Klal Yisrael to unite with one another. So he said the pshat of the pasuk is the yishal will not let them lend ishme Yisrael to one another, not let them go and borrow from the mitzrim. Leave that to me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. I will ensure that they have chen be'en ha-mitzrim. But the yishal will not ishme Yisrael, let them do chesed with one another. And that will foster a sense of unity amongst them, and through that they will then subsequently find chen bein ha-mitzrim, and the mitzrim will also lend them. As they state in Shlomo Kluger. So we see that the act of gemilas chesed was a necessary part of them receiving the rechush godel, but in fact it's not only a necessary part of them receiving the rechush godel, it was actually a necessary part of them being nigal as well. There's a Tana de Elio in Perich of Gimel. So the Tana de Elio says there was one mitzvah which the Yidden had in Mitzrayim. Mitzvah acha toisa b'yodom. And he says that mitzvah is noyach lefin HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha-b'yosem v'cham mitzvah shalom. It's more beloved by the Rebbeinu Shalom than many of our mitzvahs. Umahu ha-mitzvah acha toisa b'yodom. What was the one mitzvah that Klal Yisrael performed in Mitzrayim? Zok v'tonu v'elio. Sheniskabtsu kulam v'aguda achas. They gathered together in one band. V'kosu the bris. And they made a covenant. Sheyasu gemilus chasodim ze in ze. Unbelievable. They got together in Mitzrayim and they made a covenant with one another. We will be going on chesed with one another. And he says that was the mitzvah acha toisa b'yodom, which in that merit of that mitzvah they were nigal from Mitzrayim. The previous of Rebbe of Shlomo Chaim Rocha says the Merit HaGevot, it says Yigavto levincho b'yom ahu leimor ba'avur zeh osa Hashem li b'teisim Mitzrayim. So the Mephoroshim have difficulty with the ba'avur zeh because of this. What's the this? Well, Rav Chaim Kolch already says that there is Gematria 12, and he says it alludes to what his chart. The Rav Ruchai Rocha said that it alludes to the unity of Klal Yisrael. We find the Parshas Vayeshev, when the man, the Malach, met Yosef, he said, Nosu Mizeh. So Rashi says, He siu atzamom min ha'achvo. The Sifter Chumim explains, because there is 12. So they separated themselves from the unity of the 12 Shvatim, they became disparate. Says the Bavru, V'gavgol avincha, you should tell your children, Ba'avu zeh, it is because of the unity that was displayed amongst Klal Yisrael with one another, Osa Hashem li v'teis in the time that Klal Yisrael was zeichet to the Geula. So we see that it was in the merit of their Torah, in the merit of their Avodah, and in the merit of their being goyim chesed to one another, that they were zeichet to the Geula. I wanted to perhaps suggest that the fact these are three components of one of the same thing, right? Kutsha Brichu, the Yisrael, the Oiraisa Chadu, right? Kutsha Brichu, which means Avodah Hashem. Oiraisa, the study of Torah. Yisrael, Ahavas Yisrael. They are really three things which complement one another and are three parts of one whole. I wanted to suggest that perhaps the Sholosh Regorim that we celebrate, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, all of which are Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, perhaps are not only commemorative of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, but they're commemorative of the reasons, the independent reasons we just enumerated of how they were Zecher to go out from Mitzrayim. Shavuos commemorates Oiraisa, commemorates the study of Torah. Sukkot commemorates Avodah, it comes with Chodesh Tishri, after Yom Neroim, we've done Tshuva Meiro, we now have Tshuva Mehav, we sit in the Sukkah, which is Tzilo Demehim Menusa, same with Yiras Kvar, Asher with Yiras Ah, we put ourselves under the Hashkoch of the Rebbein Shalom, so we dedicate, we become Zorek to the Rebbein Shalom, that is parallels Avodah Hashem, Dveikus to Hashem. And Pesach, the first Simon in Hilchot Pesach is what? The first Simon in Hilchot Pesach is Mois Chitim. Every community has to ensure that every member in their community has Mois Chitim. The first thing we do in the Seder is we say Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. Pesach Samach is dedicated to fostering unity within and amongst ourselves. So the three Regalim parallel the three things: Ahavas Yisrael, Ahavas HaTorah, and Ahavas Hashem. I'd like to conclude perhaps by suggesting that we said the three keys to Geula, one might think, are the name, the language, and the dress. And we suggested it's in fact Torah, Avodah, and Gemunas Chasodim. Perhaps one can suggest, of course, I'm not mighty Midei Pshutai, that they didn't change their name, language, or dress. But perhaps someone suggests that these things also allude to Torah, Avodah, and Gemunas Chasodim. Let's begin with language. What do you mean they didn't change their language? What is a Jew's language? A Jew's language, it doesn't make a difference if he speaks in Lashon HaKodesh or if he speaks in the vernacular. Lashon HaKodesh, what it really means is what you speak about, not the language you speak in. What do Goyim speak about when Goyim meet each other? So they talk about, I don't know what they talk about. They talk about they talk about sport, or they talk about the stock market, or they talk about business. And what do Yid, what should a Yid do when he meets one another? And do you see this Ramban? A Yid discusses Divrei Torah. Leishinah Tzvashonami, they didn't talk like the Goyim talk about mundane matters. They retained their discussion of Torah, they retained talking to one another only about matters of Torah. What do you mean they didn't change their name? What's a name by a Goy? A name by a Goy is just an appellation, it's a way of attracting his attention. How should Jack know that you're calling him and not John? He's called Jack and he's called John, so when you say Jack, Jack knows to turn around. By a Yid, a name is much more than that. The name defines a person's essence. It defines his neshama. We don't have to understand this, but by the other Sagdoshim, we're told, Ava Moin Goyim, Yitzchak Moshim Tzchoit, Yaakov Moshim Ekev, Shvotim, and even unto this day, names of the person define his essence, which means, first and foremost, that we have an inner self. We have a neshama. We have an essence. We're more than what looks at ourselves when we glance in the mirror than our bodies. We have a neshama. So the name of a Yid differs from the name of a Goy, in that by the name of a Goy is maybe something that distinguishes his body from somebody else's body. The name of the Yid defines his essence, defines his neshama. So it puts him in touch, in a certain sense, with his panim, with his neshama. What is Avodah? Avodah is Hashem, right? We serve Hashem, whether it's Kabbalah or Tefillah. But it's not bowing down to Hashem that's Avodah Hashem. Avodah is Avodah Shebelev. Avodah is, who is an Oved Hashem? Somebody who works on himself, somebody who focuses on his neshama, who focuses on himself deep inside. He is an Oved. So the name signifies you recognize that I have a panim, I have a neshama, I retain my continued cognizance of the fact that I have a neshama and I'm oived on it. That is parallel to the avodah. And levush, again, following on from the previous point, a guy has a body and his levush is something external which covers his external body. But if a yid's essence is not his body, if a yid's essence is his pnim, is his neshama, is his internal thing, then what's his body? Then what's his clothing? His clothing is that which clothes his neshama. So what clothes a yid's neshama? Mouth and clothing. Those are things that clothe a yid's neshama. Specifically, gemilas chasodim. We find the Rabbi Shalom, we say in davening, Yom Meron, Levushay Tzedakah. The Rabbi Shalom's attire is righteousness, is tzedakah, because it's with that a person clothes himself. Why is chesed considered a clothing? I'll tell you why. Because clothing covers up what goes on in a person's inside. You know, you can inside you can be full of scabs and cuts, but you dress yourself very nicely, and no one knows what's going on inside you. The same thing applies with gemilas chasodim. A person can be feeling a bit lousy, can be feeling a bit under the weather, but when it comes to gemilas chasodim, you have to clothe yourself with the appropriate clothing. And when you go to levaya in the morning, you have to clothe yourself with the appropriate feeling of commiseration. But you mustn't sink yourself into that, because you're going to a chasna that same evening, and then you have to be sanach chasna mekala, so now you have to clothe yourself in simcha. And then when you're going to bikur cholim, now you have to clothe yourself in feelings of empathy and helping, and you have to change your clothing, lebushay tzedakah, as appropriate to the situation of gemilas chasodim in which you find yourself. You have to adapt your clothing. That is the clothing of a yid. Loishinu es shemom es l'shoinam abusha, means they didn't change their inner essence, their focus on avodas Hashem. They didn't change l'shoinam, the way they speak to one another, the fact that their speech of the yid centers around divrei Torah, and they didn't change their abusha, they didn't change the clothing that which clothes the yid's soul, which is maaseh tzedakah v'chesed. May we be zeicha through focusing and improving and working on our own limud haTorah, as we said, ein hamusig elo b'shtadlus hamaseh Torah b'yegia, on working on our avodas haTfilah. Filo mikiro etalei vayizoku vayitzakel Hashem, and on our gemilas chasodim and our performing chesed of one another, maybe be zeicha to the gula shleima b'mehirah b'yameinu amen.